And then also, if you haven't gotten your new daily breads free of charge, they're back there as well, so make sure you grab those. And then I wanted to give you a little bit of an update on a young couple, and that would be Garrett and Claire Robert. As you know, this past summer, they went off to the Rock to spend some time there working with the youth, but really began to sense the Lord leading them in a little different direction, and that's why you've seen them back with us, because they feel that the Lord is leading them to the mission field. And they're looking at the country of Thailand and serving with the Beelys, which is a young couple that we support here at Santa Rosa Bible. And so if you're wondering why they're here, that is why they're here. And so you'll be hearing more about their ministry in the days to come. And so I wanted to update you on what the Lord's been doing in their lives. Well, it has arrived. The last Sunday for Stan and Lori, they've been with us for 15 years. And this morning we wanted to have a breakfast so you could just interact with them and Sarah, just to say thank you and goodbye and God bless you. And, you know, all those things you've been storing up for 15 years you could share. But it's going to be kind of the heart of our service this morning, just our way of saying goodbye to them and thank you to them for their years of ministry, their years of service here. So what I thought would be good, I've kind of asked four people, and each one of them comes from a little different connection with Stan and Lori. One is a friend. All of these people are friends, but one of these people in particular has been a good friend. And I'm going to ask these people to come. When I say your name, just come on up here and stand next to me, because we want to expedite this as best we can. So that would be Joe Lynn. And then I'm going to ask Donnell Robert to come up here. Donnell kind of represents the pastor's wives, but they've been friends as well. They have served together with the children's choir and in a variety of other ways as well. And then also I've asked Doug Whited. Doug, of course, has been a part of the praise team playing the drums back here. And then on behalf of the pastors, I've asked Brent to come and share a little bit from his perspective. He and Stan have served together for a very long time. Stan, I don't know what this means, but Brent was doing this morning. He was kind of looking at this as an opportunity. So I've asked each of them to just kind of share with you just a few thoughts and words with you about Stan and Lori. And so I'm going to grab a mic here, and there we go. And so, Joe, you're all by yourself over here. Wouldn't you like to join these folks over here? So, this is Joe Lynn. So, Joe?
Well, I'm just a nerdy accountant, so this is really out of my comfort zone. So I just appreciate if you bear with me. But when Pastor asked me to say a few words, I gladly accept it, because these are dear friends of both Debbie and mine, and we just appreciate their friendship so much. when they first moved here, they invited us over to their house for some of Stan's famous homemade pizza, and we went there, and we were enjoying fellowship with them, getting to know them a little bit more, and Sarah and Kelly Grace had gone off to play, and we were just having a sweet conversation, and I think it was Aaron, I think you yelled down and said that the two girls were having a tea party at the toilet of one of their bathrooms. And so we reacted pretty quickly. To this day, I don't know if that toilet bowl was a teapot or a kitchen sink. I'm hoping it was a kitchen sink, but we still had a lot of fun thinking about that. And these being both our fourth children, I think we didn't really, you know, if they were our first child, we probably would have been watching them like a hawk. The fourth child, as long as their hands were clean by the time they picked up that slice of pizza, that was good enough for us. Well, over the 15 years, we've just had a lot of fun with them, and I just have a list of things that we've enjoyed doing. We've traveled, we've gone to Broadway plays, we've gone to musicals, we've gone to Christian concerts, we've done some biking. We've gone to sports events. We all four love to eat. Stan and I love to cook, so we've done some things with entertaining angels and Chinese New Year and life groups. And so and I forgot to say that to this day, Sarah and Kelly Grace are our best friends. And Sarah, I so much appreciate your friendship with Kelly Grace. We've had some surprise birthday parties and just a lot of things that we've just enjoyed each other's company so much with others here in the church as well. I only see two faults with Stan and Lori, and otherwise they're perfect. Stan's a Dodgers fan. And Lori's a Cowboys fan. You know, but in all seriousness, this part that's probably going to get hard. Lori, I've so much appreciated your friendship to my wife and best friend, Debbie. You've provided such wise, godly counsel. You are her prayer warrior. She comes to you with prayer requests, prayer concerns, and you are a great source of unlimited encouragement. You reflect God's light to my wife in many, many ways. Stan, I have appreciated your wise and godly counsel. You drop everything if you see a need, and you have met my needs in many, many ways over these years. You, too, are a prayer warrior. And I think the strongest thing about you, Stan, is that you're so willing to show vulnerability, which is a strength, not a weakness. It's reflecting God's humility, or humility as a godly person, as a godly husband, as a godly father, and you're willing to show that humbleness, and that's a model that we men who are so full of pride can learn from. So much appreciated. Which your love and your heart for missions now has become our love and our heart for missions. And while your mission field will change, we know that you'll still be so heavily involved with missions. Debbie and I love and appreciate you so much. We'll miss you, but this whole church body will love and appreciate and miss you as well. Thank you so much for your friendship.
Thanks, John.
Well, I have a big book, and they told me 3 to 4 minutes, but I'm going to try. Stan, I'm not going to talk to you. Sorry. I love you, but I'm going to talk to Lori. When I first met Stan and Lori, I was on the committee to bring in a music pastor, and they came to my house for dinner, and she's blown away because all the Roberts were there for dinner, and she thought it was just going to be this one couple. And she came in, and she says, "Can I help you with something?" I said, "Yeah, you could cut the green onions for the salad." And she started cutting them, and they were about that big. And I thought, "Oh, okay, do I say something or don't I?" Come to find out, she doesn't work in the kitchen. Later, I found out that she left thinking, "Ooh, I would never be friends with her because she homeschools." And then I remember later she called me and said, "I'm eating chocolate and Stan wants me to homeschool. What do I do?" So that's interesting. The thing that I wanted to do was, it was interesting. We worked through it. She did a great job. She's still homeschooling also. I made a list of all the ministries that we've been involved with. And this is the special part for me, is it all started with Thursday night choirs, singing together, and you would have our kids one Thursday night to spend the night, and I would take them the next Thursday night, and we had this deal between us so that we could have one evening without our children, and that was really special that we had that friendship, that we could do that. I remember when Aaron would come over to spend the night, he'd always say, "Mrs. Robert, please please make me popcorn. And we have some fun memories like that. During choir, there was no childcare for Sarah's age, so she would sit behind me and pull out of my purse the little packet of all those hair ties. And by the end of choir, I probably had 20 ponytails in my head. It kept her really entertained. But those are the times we built friendships. During praise team, Lori would say, "Donnell, you're singing the wrong note. Donnell, please don't sing harmony." But I took it because we were friends. We did Christmas concerts together, Christmas Eve services together with readings. And I still can't say Judea. They get exactly what I'm saying. We'd always giggle together up on stage when I had to read. We did VBX together. They were my just absolutely outstanding teachers during that time. At VBX, I knew the kids were listening to the gospel, and that was always so important to us. Praise Kids, we did Praise Kids together. We did Music Machine too many times. We did, I don't know how many musicals together with those children. We did Holidays together. I'll never forget the time she called me and said, "It's your fault Sarah's room stinks." And I'm like, "What?" And she goes, "Who uses real eggs for an Easter egg hunt?" I said, "I do." And she goes, "Exactly. They're in Sarah's room for the last 2 months." So from then on, we learned that don't put real eggs in your room, Sarah, right? Lori and I have taught some different classes together. We taught some high school girls together and some mom's classes together. I shouldn't say that. I didn't teach at all. Lori's the great teacher. I was her cheerleader, there to support and encourage. I think the most unique thing about Lori is we have a connection in ministry that is really special. She could look at me and I knew exactly what she wanted me to do. Or I could look at her and she knew exactly what she wanted me to do. We didn't even have to say a word. We just connected. And I was looking back on our time together. And the interesting thing, Lori, is I don't mean this weird or mean, but Lori and I didn't do hardly very little outside of ministry. We didn't shop together. We didn't have coffee a lot together. But the really neat thing is we knitted a friendship through ministry, and not because we're pastors' wives, because we are doing what God asked us to do. And so that is really special to me, to have a friend like that, and I'm going to miss you a lot. I got to see a side of Lori that many of you don't get to see, and I want to take just a really brief moment to all let you see it.
Gobble, 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 and a wobble, wobble, wobble. All the turkeys spread their feathers on Thanksgiving Day. When they see the farmer coming, all the turkeys start a running, and they say, "You cannot catch me on Thanksgiving Day."
I know you're going to hate me for that. Thanks for being my ministry buddy. I love you a lot.
You guys want to go sit down, that's okay. These are tough acts to follow. It's an honor for me to stand up here and talk about you guys a little bit. I won't be very long, I promise. When Stan called me, I hadn't met Stan. I didn't know who. I mean, I sat out there, but I didn't pay too much attention to what was going on most of the time. And so Stan called me one day, and he said, "Hey, would you be interested? A little bird told me that you play drums." And I'm thinking, who's this bird, you know? I found out who it was, right, Mary? Thank you. That was great. And I said, "You know, Stan, I'm really skeptical because I cannot read one note of music. I don't know a treble clef from or whatever." He goes, "Don't worry about it. Mrs. Willis is a very strong piano player." And I'm thinking, I got to meet a woman who can cover my drum mistakes with a piano. So I came, and, you know, they say the rest is history, but they made me feel welcome right away. I really appreciated that. Stan would be playing along, and all of a sudden he stopped me and go, "Mrs. Willis, we're at big number two, or we're at the coda, or we're at the this or that." And then she'd kind of look, and he'd turn around and go, right, Doug? And I'd say, oh, yeah, absolutely. That's where we were. Yeah, I know that. Lori'd look at me like, what's he doing? He doesn't know what he's doing over there. But honestly, you guys have enriched my life with church music and with spiritual matters. I have been impressed with the way you love this church, you love your music, and you love each other, and most of all, you love Jesus. And I wish you many blessings, and I will miss you dearly.
Thanks, Dan.
Finally, we get to the real truth. So 15 years ago plus, you guys were interested in becoming a part of our team and sent the application. And right at the time, you were in the midst of adopting Sarah and the SARS scare in China. I was the one that the board said, hey, would you call and see if it's going to be okay for him to even come up with this child? And 15 years ago. It's hard to believe. How do I pack in 15 years of ministry together? From family camps and Rudy hanging upside down from the rope swing, kicking Sam in the head, to father-son and father-daughter camps. Thank you for coordinating those and making those happen. To recognizing that even at something as kind and gentle as family camp, that even skipping stones can be a competition for men. So Stan has a competitive side that no matter what activity we were doing as a staff, he was somehow always winning. Stan has been our staff cook. He's been a wonderful cook, and we've appreciated that. Stan, you have a sarcastic wit that only Lori and your children fully get and love and appreciate. But I appreciate the fact that behind a good man is a godly and good woman. And I've appreciated both of you being a part of the team here. What I also have appreciated, two things that really have stood out. One is your consistency with your kids and taking them out and having coffee with them or getting together with them regularly. That's been a challenge for me, but it's been rewarding to see you just being consistent in that. That's been awesome. And then the other thing that really sticks out to me, just with your pastor's care, was when Sam was in the ICE emergency room almost a year and a half ago. And that was probably the worst of our worst, having him there. And you guys showed up. And that really meant a lot to us and to me. And I know God's going to use you. You know, he's used you here. He's going to use you in a lot of many ways in Texas. And even though it is a different country, but no, the Lord bless you. And Lori, you'll be able to say all y'all, and everybody will be able to understand it again. So God bless you guys.
Thanks, Frank. So I would like Stan and Lori and Sarah to kind of come up here, and then I'd like all the elders to come up. We're going to lay our hands on them and pray for them as they make this move. And I'll present this to you in advance. So this is a thank you letter from us to you as a church, and inside is a gift that we hope you can use to set up your new home in Austin. And so if you guys would just gather down here, and all the elders that are present, we'll ask you to come up here and I'll lead us in a word of prayer as we think of where they're headed and what the Lord has in store for them. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we count it a great privilege to have had Lori and Stan and family with us for these many years. We're grateful for the rich blessing that they have been to us on so many different levels as they have faithfully shared their talents and their gifts with us. Lord, in recent weeks from our new school principal, he's used a phrase, all in. And that is exactly what Stan and Lori have been here at Santa Rosa Bible. They have been all in with their gifts, with their talents, with their time. And they have been such a significant part of who we've been. And we are going to miss them dearly. We're grateful for the friendship that we've had with them, the fellowship we've had with them, the privilege we've had to serve alongside of them and have been the recipients of their service to you, their ministry to us. And we pray now for the days ahead that you would be with them as they transition really back home, as they have located back in the Austin area. We pray that you would make their move as smooth and uneventful as possible. We pray out of a grateful heart, thanking you for how you sold their home here in time for them to find one in Austin, and grateful that you provided Stan with some interim work. And we just pray that they would find the church that they have identified as their home church to be once again a source of great blessing and encouragement to them, and that they, in time, would find their place there as well. And you would bless them and use them to contribute on the same levels that they did here, there. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with them as they leave this week and make their way down to Southern California, say goodbye to some friends down there and have some fun at Disneyland, and then as they make their way back east to Texas, we pray that it would be a very smooth transition. May they be a source of blessing to both of their sets of parents, being much, much closer to be able to be there when they're in need of having them close by. We thank you for Sarah. We thank you for Aaron and Justin and Rudy. We're grateful that we've had the privilege of being a part of their growing up years, and trust that you have used us to impact them as well. And so, Lord, we come, and it's kind of a bittersweet moment. We rejoice in what you're doing in their lives, and with great expectation know that there's great days ahead for them. And as a local church, Lord, we also recognize that if your plan is to move them to Austin, you have a plan for us as well. And our prayer is that we would just look to you for that direction, for those provisions in the days to come. Lord, one day we'll all be together in heaven, and there will never, ever be a separation. We'll be forever with you, forever with one another, in an eternity of praise and worship of you. And we get a little taste of that, a little flavor of that down here when we're a part of a local church. So we commit them into your care because your word teaches us that you care for them. And we ask for all of this now in the wonderful and precious name of the Lord that we all love and serve, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is my request. I ask that Lori play one more song, and Sarah's going to join her on the harp. Thank you very much. That was beautiful. So in June of 1974, I graduated from the Grand Rapids School of the Bible and Music in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And then I moved home, and two weeks later, I loaded my Robin Egg Blue Ford Pinto with everything I owned. I hugged my sisters goodbye. I shook my dad and my brother's hands and jumped in my Pinto and did something no one else in my family has ever done. I moved out of state. And in 3 days, I arrived in Santa Rosa to begin an adventure that continues to this day. But I remember very well the farewell. I remember well the goodbyes. And as we all understand, saying goodbye is never easy. And it's not easy because it means separation from friends, family, and everything that makes us comfortable and helps us feel secure. It means change, new home, new job, new friends, new church, new surroundings. And then, of course, it means adjustments to the unfamiliar, that which just makes us a bit uncomfortable because it's all brand new. But as hard as farewells are, here's what I love. They don't change the person and the plans of the Lord Jesus Christ, as individual followers or as a local church. Hebrews 13:8 is a familiar verse, and this is all that it says, whoever wrote it. He said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is eternally the same. His nature remains unchanged. He is changeless. And theologians have a big name for it. It's called his immutability. But all it means is, as God, he just never changes in his essence and in his makeup and in his being. His plans, his purpose continue to remain as they always have been. A change in location, vocation, or situation has no effect on our Savior's nature or his purposes, whether it's for a family or it's for a church. Jesus is the same, no matter the change in our circumstances. And I'd like to consider just very quickly five aspects of Jesus' immutability, or the fact that he never changes. He's the same preserver, the same presence, the same position, the same power, and the same passion. Whether it's 2,000 years ago or it's today, whether it's Stan and Lori leaving or staying, whether it's Santa Rosa Bible Church moving into a future as it is, missing an important staff person that has been here for many years. So let me talk about the fact that he's the same preserver. I'm speaking to a number of you who I'm assuming would say to me that you're followers of the Lord Jesus. You have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, Paul wrote to the church at Galatia, and he simply reminded them of what they had done when he wrote these words, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." They had put their faith and trust in the finished work, the redemptive work, the salvific work of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death in their place, his resurrection, his overcoming death, and his shouting, God shouting to us through the resurrection that he had accepted in complete payment for the sins of all of us, the Lord Jesus. And then over in Ephesians, the next book over, Ephesians chapter 1, we learn that we are given something in Christ Jesus. So as I speak to you who know Jesus as your Savior, I remind you of what you have in Christ. As we look at the future, as we look at the changes that are going to take place here and the changes that are taking place in the Willis family. Listen to this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. That is what we have in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus has rescued each of us who've trusted him as Savior. And then on top of that, he has given us unlimited resources to live the life of a follower of Christ. So the point of this first point is this. He is still the Savior and still saves the souls of lost men and women. And I have a simple question for you. And I know this would be the heart of both Stan and Lori. Have you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? It's one of the hallmarks of Stan and Lori is their passion for people to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And they poured themselves into that task here in so many different ways these past 15 years. So I couldn't not say, do you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Because it's their passion. It's our passion. And I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about going to church. I'm talking about a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus as your Savior, believing he died in your place. He was raised from the dead. And you rest in that and that alone to save your soul. Because here's the fact. He is the same preserver that he was when he saved the Willises. He's the same preserver as when the author of Hebrews wrote these words. He still saves souls. He still rescues souls spiritually. And so I begin there this morning because that's where you have to begin. You have to begin with the Lord Jesus. Because of the Lord Jesus, we had the Willises for 15 years. And they're moving to Texas, and so God will bless them wherever they end up. And because this is Christ's church, we know that he's going to make provisions in the days ahead for us as well. But as we think of Jesus Christ being the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, I want us first of all to remember he's the same preserver today that he was 2,000 years ago. And secondly, he's the same presence. The unlimited resources given in Christ that we referenced a moment ago in Ephesians 1:3 is a tremendous help when we say goodbye. As believers, as Christians, as brothers and sisters in Christ. So I just want to consider a few of the more relevant ones. And this is one that's always been a favorite. Matthew 28:19-20. Some of the last words of Jesus before he ascended to heaven. And what did he say to his disciples? He said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them whatsoever things I've taught you." And here comes the part I love. "And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." The Lord Jesus is still present with his children. And this simply means the Willises are not alone as they move to Austin, nor are we alone as we move into this new season here at Santa Rosa Bible Church. He is with us in every change of life. He is with us in every season of life, as a corporate entity, as a local church, but also as families, and certainly as individual followers of Jesus. So the simple truth is, they're not going it alone into their future, nor are we as a local church going it alone into our future. In Hebrews 13:5, a quote of Jesus by the author of Hebrews, and this is what he says there. He says, "I am always with you, and I'll never forsake you." And so as we think of these changes, as we think of these transitions for the Willises, but also for us as a local church, let's just remember he has the same presence today that he's always had with his people. Thirdly, the same position. In Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23, we learn this about Jesus. "And God put all things in subjection under Christ's feet and gave him, Christ, as head over all things to the church." The Lord Jesus is still the head of the church. And though these circumstances have been brought into the Willises' lives and into our lives as a local church, isn't it good to know that the Lord Jesus is still the head of the church? And what that means is he's still the authoritative and exalted leader of his church. He is still in charge and, as always, has a purpose and plan for his people. So let's trust him to continue to build his church at SRBC through the changes to come. And let's trust him to use Stan and Lori in their new church home to do the very same thing. Because he did promise in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church. And those circumstances are not going to change that. The circumstances here at Santa Rosa Bible, the circumstances in the Willis's lives. He will continue to build his church. And then his same power. I think we're all familiar with the story in 2 Corinthians 12, where the Apostle Paul was caught up into the third heaven, the abode of God, where God lives, up into paradise, and he had this spectacular experience. And he's the only one who's had that experience. No apology whatsoever to any of those so-called people who've been raised to the third heaven. Only the Apostle Paul has had that privilege. And to keep him humble, the Lord afflicted him with what Paul identifies as a thorn in the flesh. And it could have been a person, it could have been a physical problem. My point this morning isn't really to develop that. We'll do that on another day. My point this morning is he prayed about it three times, and the Lord gave him the answer, I'm not going to take it away. But here's what I'm going to do. My grace, Paul, is sufficient for you. I love this verse. He said to me, this is a quote of Jesus, my grace is sufficient for you, for power, that would be God's power, is perfected in weakness, that would be Paul's weakness. So what's Paul's conclusion? So those are the words of Jesus. My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. So this is Paul's response. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. I am well content with weaknesses, insults, distresses, persecutions, difficulties for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then I am strong. And so as we move into the forward, into the future, as a local church, we have that grace to enable us to do so. And as Stan and Lori and Sarah move to Texas, they're going to really need a lot of grace, and God's going to provide that grace for them. Same power. I like what Elizabeth Elliot wrote a long time ago. These are not her words. I'm going to get there in a moment. Jesus can still provide supernatural help to handle the changes ahead for them, for us. And his infinite power is still readily available to his followers. I wanted to read this verse, and then I'll quote her. It's found in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Peter writes, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that this is the part I love, his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. God says what he means, and he means what he says. And all that we will need as a local church for the future, all that Stan and Lori and Sarah will need for the future, is found in Christ Jesus. Now, this is what she wrote. This is Elizabeth Elliot, and I quote, fear arises when we imagine that everything depends on us. But you see, as followers of the Lord Jesus, having been blessed in the heavenlies with every spiritual blessing, and as Peter put it, similarly, his divine power has been granted to us so that everything necessary pertaining to life and godliness is now provided, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to go into the future feeling insecure. Because we have this infinite power working in our behalf. And that's because this one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever has a power that is still relevant and still powerful and still resonant in his church and in us individually today. And then finally, the same passion. In John chapter 13 and verse 1, we have an interesting word from John the Apostle as he records for us his picture of the upper room just before Christ was arrested. Verse 1 says, now before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that his hour had come and that he would depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. I love that phrase. The Lord Jesus still cares for his people. He cares for us as a local church. He cares for Stan and Lori and Sarah. He still perfectly loves his people, and his love is just enduring, as enduring today as it was when John wrote these words a couple of thousand years ago. His enduring care will see us safely through the changes ahead as a church and certainly as a family. I love this idea that Jesus is the same, no matter the change in our circumstances, whether it's corporately as a local church or individually as a follower of Jesus. And here's why I love it, because he's the same preserver, he is the same presence, he is the same position, he is the same power, and he is the same passion. Now, there's a lot of ways you can say it. Goodbye. I think of The Sound of Music, and I think of song, and I couldn't help but think of a song as I thought of you guys. You know, we all know the song, Farewell, So Long, Auf Wiedersehen, saying goodbye, right? My dad was a naval officer, and there's a naval farewell, and it goes like this: fair winds and following seas. And then I've heard people say this: it's not goodbye, but until we meet again, until we meet again. I go to a convention every summer, and it's in various parts of the country. And for a number of years, when I would get on the shuttle and ride from the hotel to the airport, the same older gentleman who was attending the convention that I was attending was always with me. And so when we came to the airport where he would get dropped off, he would always say to me the very same thing as a farewell. And this is what he would say. He said, Chris, I'll see you here, there, or in the air. And that's a wonderful way to say farewell for those of us who know the Lord Jesus, because the reality is that's exactly right. It's either here, or it's there, or it's going to be in the air. However you express it, though, goodbyes are hard. And I have a lot of memories. I haven't shared a lot of memories yet of them because I didn't know how well I would do with it. But I'm grateful for the blessing that Stan and Lori have been to us. My first visit with them, Lori and I were in Southern California. We had been dialoguing with them. And so Stan invited us over for dinner that afternoon after church. So we went and we met their family. I mean, Aaron and Justin and Rudy, they were just teeny, teeny, tiny kids. As a matter of fact, I still remember Rudy. I don't know how old he was. How old? Yeah, he was 4, and I think he had a drum set up in his room. And he kind of came over to me and grabbed my hand and said, would you like to see my drum set? I said, sure. So he took me up there and kind of banged on the drums, and I thought, oh, okay, okay. So then we sat down at this magnificent meal. And afterwards, I promptly thanked Lori. And Lori smiled, and she said, well, I had nothing to do with it, because I don't cook. And that was my introduction to Lori and Stan. She doesn't cook, but she can sure play the piano. And Stan does cook, and as Brent alluded to, he's been our staff chef all these 15 years, and he has treated us and feeded us as not just pastors, but our wives as well, on a number of occasions. So that was my introduction. And then I think we had you guys come up here, and I remember after church we went to McDonald's, and I think Sarah was just a little baby. And the one lasting memory I have of that is how slow Lori eats. Because we had, Aaron's going, yeah. We had all finished our meals, and honestly, she must have had like 3/4 of it still left. And I learned something else about Lori. She eats really slow, which is, I understand that's a healthy thing to do. You should eat your food and not scarf it like I do. I inhale food. And then, of course, they came from a difficult situation in Southern California. They had been wounded deeply in the previous ministry that they had been in. My prayer was that their coming here would be everything that wasn't, in terms of just healing and our ability to minister to them. And the thing about Stan is he's a little prickly on the outside when you first meet him. But the reality is he has such a great heart for the things of the Lord. And he has a great heart for God's people. And that began to surface very early on. And I can't even begin to express my appreciation, my gratitude to the Lord for you guys and the contributions you guys made on so many levels. And they indeed were all in. There was no holding back. Stan, like me, is always scanning the pews to see if he recognizes or he doesn't recognize somebody. And if he doesn't recognize somebody, he's out there immediately after service and he's running them down, introducing himself, and he's trying to find a place for them to connect with people. And of course, we had a previous music pastor who did an outstanding job with our music, and he did an outstanding job with our Christmas concerts in particular. And I was a little reticent, but Stan came in and he just picked up where Kevin left off in terms of the depth of quality of music, and I have always found that to be a great blessing to me as the lead pastor. It's interesting, Stan and I think I've told this to you. Stan and I, we've never met to talk about the service. He knows the text I'm preaching from, but we just have never done that. And yet I would get here Sunday morning, and as we would start to sing through the worship songs, I would go, wow, this is incredible. Each song always appropriately supported the theme of what I was going to be preaching on. It was just something God did. It was kind of wonderful. And I just have appreciated their absolute commitment to the Lord Jesus, their absolute commitment to one another. I'll miss hearing Stan say, how does he address you? The wonderful and glorious, what is it? Say it out louder.
Lovely and talented.
Yes, the lovely and talented. I didn't mean to embarrass you that way. I was just trying to, my ears are going. And so I just wanted to hear the lovely and talented Mrs. Willis. And in that I heard this great and deep love and affection for her. And the things he does for her romantically for anniversaries. I mean, it's not every husband that flies you to New York City and then takes you to Central Park and treats you wonderfully. I think he even bought you a special dress or something. Yeah, he just did stuff like that. All of those things are who they are, and we'll miss that about you guys. And it's been great to have the boys grow up here, and Aaron and his wife Carolyn are with us this morning, so it's good to have you guys here, and of course, to have Sarah grow up into this beautiful young woman and to share her talent with us here one last time before they head out of town. Well, I have a passage of scripture, and then I'm going to say a quick prayer, and then Stan is going to baptize Sarah because Sarah came to him this week. He was funny. He sent me an email. He said, I don't know why she didn't ask me last week, because we had baptisms last week. But that's how we're going to kind of wrap the service up. He'll come out, he'll baptize Sarah, and then he's going to close the service from there. But let me share this passage with you. This is Psalm 100, verse 3, verse 5. And I love this because it has something for us as a local church as we look to the future, and it has something for the Willis family as they transition to Texas and they look for a new future there for them. And this is what the psalmist writes. He says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. The Lord is God. He made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever and ever. And His faithfulness continues to each generation. My prayer this morning is a simple one. You don't have to close your eyes or anything. I'm just going to say it. And this is my prayer. Lord Jesus, reveal yourself to us in this unfamiliar season for the Willises and for us as a local church. Stan? Oh. You're a bad man.
There we go. Are we there?
Yeah.
Are we there? Okay. So you can see this from there? This is in honor of being prickly. So it is a privilege, and it's the privilege now that I will have had four different times to baptize one of my own children. But for those of you that might be new today, just understand that there's nothing special about this water. This is an act of obedience on the part of my daughter. And just tell you a little bit, Chris and I think Brent both referenced it, but we visited here in April 15 years ago, and we got our daughter in China in April 15 years ago. And so we were coming straight from, we'd gone to Los Angeles, our home, from Hong Kong, and turned around, left the kids with grandparents, and came up here. And Sarah, as it turned out, had been with us for just about a week when an older brother that will remain nameless let her slip off the bed, and she broke her leg within a week of us having her. And so when we visited you, she was in a stroller and a spica cast, having just come home from China with us. And so when we were trying to hide it from you, because it just didn't look good. But anyway, and Brent again referenced it, but he didn't tell you that he had to actually ask us not to put her in the nursery that day, because there were people afraid of SARS. The my friend who's a doctor called it CNN disease. But there had been kind of a fear, a frightening thing on the news about a disease that I'm sure did hurt some people, but it wasn't hurting us. And so that was our first Sunday here, was our first days of life with Sarah. And as the Lord has done with all of our children, or at least three of them, they came to Christ at a very early age. And so Sarah, her testimony goes back to 2000. And seven, and I'm going to let her come in to the water and tell you about that herself.
Hello. So on October 19th, 2011, I believe.
Oh, you said.
No, 2007. I accepted Jesus into my life. I was 5 years old at the time, so I don't really remember all the details. Later on in my life, in middle school, that's when my faith really started to grow. Christianity wasn't just some faith that my parents had and something that Sunday school teachers taught me anymore. It was my own faith. During middle school, we studied the New Testament. Prior to middle school, I had read the New Testament many times, but I didn't really understand what it meant. Instead of listening to stories about creation and Noah's flood, while the stories are still important, we focused on certain passages in the New Testament and studied them, understanding who God is and what he has done. By analyzing each passage that we went through like that, God really opened my eyes to all that he has done. I think it really hit me that I was a sinner in desperate need for Christ and that I couldn't do anything on my own to save me. After thinking about how Jesus willingly suffered and died, a horrible death, it always left me wondering how the God of the universe, the one who created me, wanted a relationship with a prideful and grateful sinner like me. I knew that he was my one and only Savior. Not only did I learn about Jesus' ultimate sacrifice, but I also learned about what we as Christians must do to be obedient to him in the way that we act, share the gospel, and obey his command to be baptized. During those middle school years and these few years as a high schooler, I have really grown in my knowledge of the Bible and what it has to say about living a life that is about glorifying Christ. Ultimately, I am here getting baptized today because I want to obey God's command to get baptized. Now, being baptized doesn't get me saved, but rather publicly shows I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died for my sins, and that he rose from the dead 3 days later. I also want to thank my church family for always loving me and faithfully teaching God's word to me. I can't thank you enough. I felt so loved here, and I'm very sad to leave this body of Christ. On another note, I'm so excited to see for what God has in store for me and what he'll teach me along the way in this upcoming adventure and in the far future.
And so, Sarah, based on your profession of faith, I have the privilege as you're, oh, here's where it comes. As your father and your brother in Christ, baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so I will give the benediction from 3 feet of water. Let's stand together as we close this morning. This is a benediction that Lori's pastor used every Sunday when she was growing up, and I've always really liked it. It goes like this: go into the world in peace, have courage, hold on to what is good, honor all men, strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the suffering, and share the gospel. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. Amen. God bless you.
This message has been brought to you by the Santa Rosa Bible Church. Our mission is to see the lost reached and believers transformed by Jesus. You can find out more information about us at our website at srbible.org, or you can visit us in person at 4575 Badger Road in Santa Rosa, California. You can also reach us by phone at 707-538-2385.